Stranded 2, Trial by Fire, Chapter 10. Jane sat with her back against the shelter wall, trying to stay out of the breeze. The wind had definitely kicked up this afternoon. Looking out at the ocean, she could see small white caps where the waves were breaking, maybe 100 yards offshore. If they were going back down to the Lucky Star, she thought, they should probably go soon. While she waited for the others to get ready, she opened the journal on her lap to a new page at the back. She pulled one of her pens out from the crevice in the rocks where she'd stashed it, and she started to write. July 4, day 10 since we left Hawaii. Day 6 on Nowhere Island. I can't believe it. We've been here for 6 days. It feels like forever. But it also feels like we just got here. We're missing the 4th of July, too. I keep thinking about the fireworks back home and wondering what Amelia and Becca are doing. Also, hot dogs, popcorn, chocolate chip milkshakes, and food, food, food. Speaking of food, guess what I ate today? Snails. It was Buzz's idea. Once you cook them, they get all tough, but I still don't really know what they taste like. The best way to eat them is to hold your breath and swallow without chewing. And even then, horrible. Snails are my new most hated thing about being here. It also takes forever to get them ready. We spent practically half the day using rocks to crack open these teeny tiny shells and then taking out the snails inside to cook in the pot with water from the ocean. Now everything smells like snails, snails, snails. Vanessa, Buzz, and Carter keep talking about fishing or catching crabs, but so far nobody knows how to do it. What we need is a fishing pole or a net or something. Fingers crossed that we can figure it out because here is everything we've had to eat and drink in the last 3 days. Water, coconut meat, snails. Later, we're going to try to get down to the Lucky Star again. Buzz said he and I had an idea about it. Hopefully, the next time I write something, I'll have some good news to share for a change. Fingers crossed. Toes too. Buzz carried one of the ropes up onto Dead Man's Shelf that afternoon. It was a simple enough idea for reaching the Lucky Star. As for whether or not this would work, it was like everything else. The only way to find out was by trying. First, someone swims down and ties it to the rail on the boat, he told the others. Then, the next person can use it to get down there. Hopefully, you can pull yourself faster than you can swim. Like an underwater zip line, Jane said. Cool. That means extra time to get inside the cabin, Vanessa added. I like it. Jane volunteered to swim down first and tie off the rope. She slipped easily into the water, carrying one end with her, while Carter held the other end on the rocks. Buzz watched carefully as the rope unspooled, making sure it didn't get tangled. The ocean wasn't as calm today. The wind was creating a choppy current that might slow them down. Then again, it might make the rope that much more useful. It didn't take long to find out. Within a minute, Jane was back at the surface, smiling up at them. I did it, she said, climbing onto the rocks. I think this might work. When Buzz pulled up the slack, the line was nice and secure, but the boat itself seemed to be shifting with the current, just enough to pull and give, then pull and give again on the rope. It was going to be tricky, but not impossible, for one of them to keep it taut up top while someone else dove down. Who's next? He asked. Carter had his shirt, shoes, and socks off before there could be any argument. Are you sure you feel okay? Vanessa asked him. His only answer was to dive into the water and take hold of the line. Wait, Jane called. She handed him the empty backpack they'd brought from camp. Bring back something good. You got it, Janie, he said. Don't try to grab everything on the first time, Vanessa said. Just do what you can. I always do, Carter said with a grin. Benson's on the job. He had a familiar, cocky look in his eye. Buzz had seen it before. It was Carter's game face, the one he wore most of the time, or at least any time he wanted to win something. Buzz hoped so anyway, because this time, if Carter won, they all won. Carter took 3 deep breaths in and out. On the 3rd breath, he held it, grabbed hold of the line, and started pulling himself down toward the boat. Buzz's idea actually worked pretty well. He skimmed through the water much faster than he could have swum it. It got him down to the Lucky Star in less than half a minute. The boat sat perched near the edge of the steep drop-off. Beyond that, all Carter could see was open blue ocean. He could hear a muted groan, too. It was coming from the Lucky Star, as it shifted and listed there on the coral ledge. Carter stopped long enough to squeeze his nose and release the pressure in his head, then kept going. Moving quickly, he swam down the galley stairway and into the cabin below decks. It was bizarre swimming through this space where they'd lived for 4 days before the shipwreck and 3 days after. Now inside the cabin was more like a giant aquarium. A small school of fish darted out through the opposite hatch as Carter came in. The fish could have it, he thought, just as long as they left the canned goods alone. He turned 180 at the bottom of the stairs and went straight for the cooking area in the galley. Everything was even more wrecked than the last time he'd seen it. Most of the cabinets sat at odd angles where they'd pulled away from the walls. Several drawers lay smashed on the floor. Carter started opening whatever compartment doors he could get to, feeling around inside for any signs of food. In no time at all, it seemed like his lungs started to tighten up and beg for air. He tried to ignore the feeling. He kept his body moving through the water, his hands reaching for the next cabinet door. It was on the cabinet farthest from the galley entrance that he hit the jackpot. As he reached into the dark corner, his hand landed on something smooth and cool. When he pulled it out, he saw it was a can of some kind. The label had already been washed off, but it didn't even matter what was inside. This was real food, their first in days. He shoved the can into his pack and quickly swam back outside. When he reached the rope again, he started pulling himself toward the surface as fast as he could go. The need to breathe was everything now. The best he could do was distract himself with a play-by-play inside his head. Benson's got the ball. He's past the 60-yard line, the 50, the 40. His throat pulsed, trying to force new air down into his lungs. His vision swirled, but the white bright light at the surface showed him which way to go. It wasn't even the sky he saw. It was the lights of Soldier Field, egging him on. He's passing the 30, the 20, the 10. He's got this. Carter broke the surface like a shot and gasped a desperate, much-needed lungful of air before he pulled out the silver can and held it over his head with a yell. And Benson scores!